This is Art Slash Geek, your guide to the interesting things that happen at the intersection of art and technology with Russ Olson and Chris Bailey. This is episode 25 for Sunday, November 15th, 2009. This week it's all about Creative Commons, with just a little bit of Star Trek thrown in.
We covered a lot of material last week having to do with copyright. This week I'd like to talk about the protections offered through Creative Commons.
Now that's one thing that we've never really settled on is we've released this podcast, we've released 20-something episodes of this podcast, and we've never really said what the licensing scheme is for it. Can anybody copy this podcast? Can anybody use it? So do you think that Creative Commons could help us with that?
Yes, absolutely. Because we haven't authorized anyone to use it, I mean, I guess we just figured that nobody would want it. But here we are, and we've made a bunch of these episodes, and I think we've recorded them.
Some of them may even have found their way to the internet.
Yeah. Creative Commons is an organization that is committed to providing an alternative, not just means of copyrighting things, but it's almost a different paradigm that allows for greater sharing among creative peoples.
Okay.
And let me stop by saying that there is another alternative that some people use in the software world, which is called copyleft.
Right. Copyleft, or a lot of people know probably, is the GPL, the GNU Public License.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that's a way of saying, here's some software, I own the copyright, but you can use the software under these conditions. And it's just kind of a blanket. It's not like you have to make a deal with me.
Mm-hmm.
I just release this software and it's still mine. It's not in the public domain. I haven't like given up all my rights to it. I haven't really given up any rights to it. But copyleft is a way of saying, I'm giving you permission, you being the whole world, to use this software any way you see fit under these conditions. And the conditions are generally pretty reasonable. Like, you can't claim you wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently, the condition is that if you change it, you have to release the changes under the same license. Basically, the idea of copyleft is I'm giving it away, but you know what? You can't steal it back and keep
right.
it for your own self.
Right.
Is Creative Commons sort of the artistic version of that, maybe?
Well, it is, or it could be considered an extension of it,
okay.
Taken into other fields.
Okay.
But I think it can also apply to software, depending on how you want to use it. It provides guidelines and specifications.
Okay.
And the protection of Creative Commons might be more fleshed out?
Well, I think copyleft is sort of a jokey term that's like, it's the opposite of copyright,
right.
is where it comes from. And where copyrights typically prevent you from using something, the idea of copyleft is, let's get this software out there and let as many people as humanly possible use it. And that's why there are these provisions that you can't just make an enhancement to it frequently, not all the time, but you can't make an enhancement to it and then keep the enhancement to yourself. You have to give the enhancement away is a frequent
mm-hmm.
requirement of a copyleft license. And so that tends to spread the software even further.
Right.
I don't really know that much about Creative Commons, but I had the feeling that it was sort of in the same spirit that I'm going to have a license for my copyright that lets people do things with it to encourage sharing.
Sure. And what you can do with that, they provide these suggested licenses and even the accompanying graphics if you're on the
like
web.
A little icon,
right,
or something.
Little icons. Uh-huh. I think they even have the license text that you can use to specify what it is you want to do. And it's a little more either honored or recognized. It's something that they're looking to have in the public domain that is recognized as a protection.
Yeah.
So it's not just a matter of, you know, forget the copyright. I don't care. Or
right. Well, Creative Commons, as I've come across it, like, for instance, for the music, the music that begins and ends this podcast frequently, almost mm-hmm. always has been, till recently, has been Creative Commons music. And those songs come with a license that say something like, it's okay for you to use this for non-commercial purposes.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for you to use it as long as you don't claim that it's yours, which reminds me of like the software licenses. And that's very nice. It's and I certainly don't mind giving people credit for their work.
Sure. And that's like one of the types of Creative Commons licenses you can get is called share alike, which is sounds like what you've described. If you use material under a share alike license, you must license what you produce with the same license.
Yeah.
Right?
So if you build on this, that's great, but you have to share out the built on product
exactly.
In exactly the same way that I shared the original. Yeah.
Don't put it together and hoard it for yourself. Another feature, I guess, distinction is whether or not it's commercial. It could be a non-commercial. Like once money starts hitting the table, we might need to talk again.
Right. So for instance, that would not be a problem in this podcast ever.
Well, you know, Apple might want to sponsor me. I don't know. Or Starbucks. Yeah, probably not an issue. But like once you assign these protections to your work, you pretty much want to stick with them.
Well, one of the things with the GNU software licenses, these sort of copyleft ones, is once you've released your software under that license, you kind of can't take it back.
Yes.
Because you've kind of made a promise, here it is, and if people get hold of it, you've sort of said, you can have this version of the software and here are the conditions. And if somebody says, yes, I want it and takes it,
yes.
You know, you've made a deal with them.
Right.
Even if you've never met them, nothing, you know.
Yeah.
I suspect it's the same kind of way.
Yeah, because in court, if they take you to court, if they, you know, have the wherewithal to do that, it's clear that you have made this agreement,
right.
whether you have bad feelings about it later or not.
Right.
So if you're not sure what you want to do, it's best just to not do anything, not offer a Creative Commons license, and just enjoy the protections of copyright that are already afforded to you.
Right. I think if it's similar to the software licenses, I think what Creative Commons is simply you saying, I own the copyright on this song or piece of artwork or something like that, but you can use it under these conditions.
Mm-hmm.
It's still copyrighted.
Right.
I still own it. But I'm being a nice guy
or
a nice woman.
And I was wondering when I first started looking into this, where under what circumstances you might want to do this. Well, let's say you're a small or independent band.
Yes.
And you've got some music that you've put together and you don't mind if it gets used in a documentary film.
In fact, you might be thrilled to death.
You might be thrilled,
yes.
Yeah. Now, when you open it up to that, I mean, I guess you're also opening it up to certain types of editing, mashups, different things you can do with the song itself.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting issue because I've had pangs of guilt with the music for this podcast because I've borrowed, used, however you want to put it, music from various sites that I've carefully checked as well as I could that were licensed under Creative Commons. And frequently the music will say, you know, non-commercial, you have to, I think the word is attribution. You have to say where you got it from, which is fine. But it'll also say no modification. In other words, they don't want you turning this, you know, my symphony into a marching band song or something like that. And I sometimes wonder, we'll slap the music on the front of this podcast and I will take 30 or 40 seconds of the music, not the whole thing. Is that a modification? I don't think in the spirit of the license it really is. And the other thing I'll do is, you know, we tend to have the introduction to the podcast over top of the music, which essentially means turning the volume down on the music while we're talking and then turning it back up after we get done talking. So it's la la la, welcome to art/geek, la la la. And I wonder if strictly speaking, that's a modification of the music. I think in the spirit of it, no, but there I am with my sound editor modifying this music.
Well, you know? But you're not adding music.
I'm not adding a drum track to it.
Or we're not writing our own lyrics
and
changing the style or the piece itself.
That's right.
And I think, you know, given convention, what people normally do with broadcasts, this is a common way to use it. And it keeps the integrity of the piece. Well, according to Creative Commons, they agree, yes, get permission, provide attribution. You always want to do that. That's the default.
Okay.
In some cases, you might be able to contact the artist, or in more cases than not, you have to contact their publisher.
Yeah.
The people who own the rights to their music. There are large companies own these things most of the time.
Right.
Sometimes you pay, I think it's nine cents a hit.
So this would be for music that's not particularly Creative Commons.
No, yeah, I'm sorry. That's in...
This is more like standard kind of...
Sure.
If I wanted to use, I don't know, the theme from Cheers for the the podcast.
I think it's more, if you wanted to use a contemporary, if you want to use
Anthrax.
The White Stripes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think there might be flexible or negotiable price ranges for older material.
Right.
But it's still
right.
protected.
Right. Right.
But you always want to get, no matter what, you always want to get permission. And whether it's a financial agreement or not, you should have it in writing and have that something you could provide if somebody comes after you.
Well, let me just drop a couple of things in there, which is, as far as finding Creative Commons music, which is mostly where I've come across that, there's a site called CC Mixer. And if you Google that, it's ccmixer.com or .org. But if you Google it, you'll find it pretty quickly. And that site, it's where a lot of our music has come from. That site, they specialize in, people will put a piece of music up there, like maybe a voice track. And someone else will come along and mix in the drums or something. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the, you know, all the music there, I believe, all of it's Creative Commons licensed. And the whole idea is you put your music up there for somebody else to do something else with it. And it's a really interesting kind of idea.
So it's kind of like you're not locked into a space or time, but a means for collaboration.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like a jam session.
Yeah,
like,
maybe with people who've never met.
Sure.
Or probably with people who've never met.
And
yeah.
whom you're not going to share your vision with. You're just going to say, here it is.
Yeah.
Do something with it. Maybe I can't play the drums. Maybe I'm not comfortable doing the accompaniment or the arrangement or something like that. What can you do?
Or in our case, can't sing.
Well, or that, yeah. That's a great idea. I know that through Google or Yahoo now, you can, under the advanced search, you can select Creative Commons as a search criteria.
Oh, really?
So that you could find things that
are licensed under Creative Commons.
Right.
Because that was the other thing that I was going to say, and this is kind of a plea from a podcaster out to anybody who might be making music or something. Please be explicit about what your license is. If you put your music out there, if it's just out there for me to listen to and to like or dislike and maybe buy the CD or something, tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Creative Commons, tell me that so that I know, because the last thing I want to do in the world is steal something or use something without permission. And sometimes it's just not apparent mm-hmm. what the license is.
And I think in that case, you have to assume that
can't use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which might mean that, you know, that person doesn't get included in the documentary or project or something like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's even at a live conference or something that might, you know, they might actually be getting exposure.
Right. Well, frequently I have the feeling that people are putting their music up there with the idea, oh, anybody can, mm-hmm. you know, use this for whatever or for some reasonable purpose. And since they're not explicit about it, I'm not going to use it, which I think is a shame.
Yeah. They also say if you use someone else's Creative Commons material that is licensed under Creative Commons, that does not necessarily protect you if their material contains protected material.
So if they stole it
and
slapped a Creative Commons license on it and then you use it in good faith, you're still maybe liable because they stole it in the first place.
Right. If somebody comes after you, it's not necessarily the case where you say, well, I got it from so-and-so.
Yeah. You used it.
You're just as guilty.
Yeah. Well, I if that happens on this podcast, I will give them all of the profits for the last year of podcasting.
All the receipts.
Yes. The gross, not just the net.
Yeah.
The gross.
Now, for music, there are actually two copyrights, one for composition, one for recording. I think we've discussed that.
So the person who writes the music has a copyright, and the person who performs it or records it has a separate copyright.
Yeah.
And I guess somehow they're related together.
Yes.
They're kind of tangled up with each other, but not the same.
Yeah, if you – in some cases, I think you can perform the work. But in other cases, you might not be able to do either, or you need to seek permission for both.
Right.
And you need to get permission to reproduce or distribute. And like I said, it's the Harry Fox Agency is one of the largest in the world music publisher, and they charge 9 cents per song per download up to 5 minutes, and over 5 minutes, if the song is over 5 minutes, it's an additional cost.
See, 9 cents per song per download, that would give us about 45 cents.
Well, it puts a stop, I think, on a lot of music options the show.
Yeah.
For video, there are, for video podcasts, where you want to use somebody's footage, that gets in a whole nother
area. Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Area. Yeah, that can be complicated, and you'll need to do plenty of research on that. Even getting, not loopholes, but there are areas having to do with, like, using Flickr photos that people intend to use Creative Commons licenses for that have still gotten people who are using them into trouble.
So it's a gray area kind of.
It's a gray area. It's a new enough idea, and we certainly applaud it, but there are going to be parts of it that are still going to have to be ironed out. Another category is fair use, which we talked about some. Copying protected materials for a limited transformative purpose, such as to criticize, parody, comment, news reporting, or teaching.
Now, right.
If you want to talk about a copyrighted song or band or movie.
Or make fun of it.
Or make fun of it.
Yeah.
You know, you need to look into sort of what the parameters are, but chances are good that, you know, you can do that if it falls under a fair use category.
Well, thank God we'll always have Weird Al and eat it.
Another consideration is how big a portion do you use?
There's
some under fair use you could, if you take a small clip.
Someone once told me that you can use 8 seconds of anything on TV and not really have to worry about it. I don't know if that's the right number, but there are some number of seconds of, say, a song that you could use. And as long as you stayed under that number of seconds, it was like, well, how, you know, unless it was an 8 second song in its entirety, you haven't really in any way possibly damaged the person who's.
Exactly. Well, and that's the other thing is, depending on how you're going to use it, one fairly clear consideration is whether or not your conduct is morally offensive. So that if you're going to use, like, you know, a show like this, you know, we're talking about ideas.
Right.
We're probably not going to offend too many people
on
the basis of that.
Right. On the other hand, if we went, if I understand you, if we went after, we really didn't like some musician and we said all kinds of horrible things about them.
Exactly.
And modified their music, even if we just used short pieces of it to make them look ridiculous, maybe that
would be a problem.
Yeah.
In fact, you can't use another person's image, likeness, or voice without their consent.
Ah.
The possible exceptions being news events.
Right.
If they do something that's newsworthy.
Right. Or like public, there's the whole public figure exception.
Right.
If you're a public figure, pretty much you're fair game.
Yeah. Because, this could have an effect on their career.
Right.
And whether or not it does, if it's enough to draw concern, they might come after you. So you just don't want to go there. Just one more thing. The advantages to doing this is that to using Creative Commons to specify your licensing is that you make your intentions known.
Yes.
As we've discussed, so that people who might want to use it or collaborate with you or what have you,
right,
you know, even download music to listen car, they know what they can do under the protection.
And again, let me repeat my plea. I want to respect your license. Tell me what it is, please.
And then you can, once you decide on your which Creative Commons license you're interested in, then you can embed it into your blog, incorporate it into your RSS description, or put it in the MP3 file in the metadata.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say, is that's always the first place I look, and I almost never see licensing information in the MP3 metadata, and I really wish it were there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it just occurred to me that I've never put it in the podcast.
We might have to do it retroactively.
Yeah.
And just real quick, the licensing types you've got, the first one is attribution. The second is share alike. Number three is no derivatives. Number four is non-commercial. And then number five is non-commercial share alike.
Okay.
And number six is non-commercial, no derivatives.
So basically all the possible combinations, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I think that gives you enough options as a, the content originator that you could, you know, figure out what you're comfortable with.
Right.
And maybe
right.
you do one thing for your music and another thing for your – or, you know, whatever it is
right.
that you have.
Right.
Your writing versus right. your podcast.
But, yeah, when I sing opera, I'm going to include anthology.
But when in doubt, you know – definitely err in favor of not using or, you know, certainly find out everything
right.
you can.
Be careful because it's yeah. other people's property, I yeah. think is what you're saying. Okay, well, thanks, Chris. That is Creative Commons.
Bye.
And now, Chris, we're going to do a new kind of segment for the podcast, and it's our guilty pleasures segment. You ever have things you like that you're sort of sorry or a little embarrassed that you like?
No comment.
No comment. Just won't admit it.
Billy Idol?
Billy Idol. Yeah. Oh, my God. That is shameful.
Well, it was when I was younger.
Okay. Well, I guess we can forgive you then. Well, I'd like to do a book review today. And, you know, if you go to a popular bookstore, Barnes & Noble or something, you go to the fiction aisle and you go to science fiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will just find reams and reams, hundreds of shelf feet of books about Star Wars and Star Trek. There's novels, there's guides to the universe, there's tiny little, you know, discontinuities in the movie. There's everything in the world that you care to find out about these two kind of media empires, right?
Is there a wiki?
There might even be a wiki. And if you look down the science fiction aisles, there's a lot of things like that. You know, science fiction tends to be, there's lots of series and things that people get into. And so you'll have 20 shelf feet of this and 20. And a lot of the commentary around these kinds of things tends to be less than critical. You know, you get lots of books about Star Trek where it's just fawning, you know, right, and in the minutiae of when the warp drive works or when it doesn't. And the book I'm going to review today, it's an old book. It's from published in 1994, and you might think it would be that kind of book, but it's not really. It's called All I Really Need to Know I Learned from Watching Star Trek. And it's by a guy named Dave, and I'm probably going to butcher his last name, so I apologize, Dave. Dave Marinaccio, maybe?
That looks right.
Yeah, Marinaccio. And it's very much, I don't know if you remember the book, All I Need to Know, Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten.
Yeah.
It was sort of
yeah.
a self-help, feel-good kind of book.
And that came out about that time.
Yeah, and yeah. I think this is sort of a little bit of a parody of that. The fun thing about this book is that it's not all Star Trek all the time. It's all about this guy and, you know, Dave Marinaccio. He speaks in the first person, and he's funny. And so here's the first line from the introduction. He says, I work in one of the noblest enterprises ever conceived by man, advertising. And it goes on from that. And it's just a series, more or less, of short essays. And they all have their takeoff from some aspect of mostly the old, you know, the original Star Trek series. And then they talk about life.
Okay.
And they're really sort of amusing. And so I'm just going to read you a few of my favorites. Here's one of my very favorites. It is, Kirk is a military man. You remember the captain of the Enterprise,
sure.
Captain
yeah.
Kirk? Kirk is a military man. His method of dealing with conflict is to meet it straight on. The problem with this approach is evident in almost every episode.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
So unlike your typical Star Trek book, this guy is sort of looking at it with a critical eye. And he goes on to talk about, you know, by the third commercial, the ship is in danger, the crew is in danger, and there's no easy or apparent way out. And then the sensible people take over.
Right, right.
Here's a really good one that I see every day in my life. So I think I really could have learned this from Star Trek. It is, technology changes, but people don't. No matter how powerful our computers become or how many diseases we learn the cure, we still act dopey. And my final little quote from this book is, yes, here's a bit of advice that I wake up every morning and think about. Anyone with a passing interest in Star Trek should know this rule. Never, ever wear a red shirt. Not under any circumstances. Don't do it. And if you don't listen to Star Trek, that the guys in the red shirts were always the extras who didn't last to the first commercial. Whenever the alien came out and swallowed somebody whole, it was almost always the guy in the red shirt.
Yeah, and it makes for a good Halloween costume. It probably did, you know, 30 years ago.
Sort of some horrible wound and a red Star Trek shirt.
Now, I will say, I've only got a few red shirts. They're hard to wash.
You got to get all that blood off.
Yeah. Well, it has its own,
and the alien slime.
Its own load. But luckily, my daughter has a lot of pink, so
there you go.
That gave me an in. But there have been times where I've worn a red shirt and gone to Target.
Ah, and everyone thinks you work there.
Yeah. Or you worry that somebody's going to think you work.
Anyway, the book is All I Really Need to Know, I Learned from Watching Star Trek. It's by Dave Marinaccio, published in 1994, and it's a fun, about 130 pages. You could probably get it for $1 at used on Amazon.
Or even at Barnes & Noble.
That's right.
These days, who
knows? That's right. So that is our first guilty pleasure.
Excellent.
Art/Geek is produced by Russ Olson and Chris Bailey. To get the show notes, leave a comment, or get the latest episodes, visit our website at www.art/geek.com. Our introductory music was Walk With Me by Jason Dale. Our bumper and closing music was Forever, also by Jason Dale. Thanks for listening.